Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Next Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week with Palm Sunday, and then going through several things. And you know, we've got some special services coming up. And it goes to next week. We're going to celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry to Jerusalem that culminated with the crucifixion and the resurrection. And it always amazes me how when you get into certain portions of Scripture, there are certain words that we read over and certain phrases that we read over. And we think they're extraneous. We just don't see how they have any connection. And that's kind of what happened to me this week. I read over a phrase and then I asked the question, why is that there? And what happened following kind of shook me. So I want to begin at Luke chapter 19:28, and then I'm going to say right off the bat, we're going to, at the end of the message, we're going to encounter a side of the Lord that we are uncomfortable with. So I'm just going to put this disclaimer out right at the beginning. Sometime in this message, you're going to get uncomfortable. Please stay with me till the end. Okay? I didn't hear an okay. So there's a mass exodus. Lock the doors. Somebody lock the doors, please. Okay. And my goal today, here's what I want to do today. I want to challenge your perception of God. I pray that in our reading and in our discussion, that this text may lead some of us to take an honest look inside of where we are, to take an inventory of where we stand with the Lord. We're going to see three types of people in the message today. Three types of people, three kind of categories of people. And I bet if you're like me, you're going to find yourself in at least one of these categories. Or if you're like me, you're going to find yourself kind of in one, but you've got some areas in your life that are with another. And that kind of makes me uncomfortable. And so I kind of recognize there's some bleed over. But Jesus' journey to the cross is significant to all three groups of people. Okay? It's significant. So let's jump right off at this word that jumped off the pages at me, this phrase. Luke 19, 28 through 31. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at Mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied and on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. Now the Bible says, right off the bat, when Jesus had said these things. I've read right over that. I read right over that. Why is that there? I mean, Matthew, Mark, and John don't describe it in quite this manner. But I understand that Luke is a writer of detail. And so what was he said before? It's almost like he said, when he said these things, then he got ready to go into Jerusalem. When he said these things, then he enters. So there's something significant about what Jesus said prior to going into Jerusalem to culminate his ministry. Are you with me? So what is it that he said? Because following the encounter with Zacchaeus, Jesus is getting ready to go into Jerusalem. From John's account, we know that he had raised Lazarus from the dead and that the people who were following him wanted to physically take him and forcefully make him the king to overthrow the Roman government. Okay? They wanted Jesus to bring a new political kingdom that would ease the Roman oppression of the Jews. How many of you want God to do something in your life right now? Anybody want, everybody just loves the coronavirus and you just love the pandemic and you love the lockdown and you love, you love all this stuff and you love economic uncertainty and political unrest and you just love it. You love when your kids are stressed. You love when your neighbors argue. We want God to do something now. A lot of us are in that place. Well, let's look back up a little bit and let's kind of see what happened at the end of the conclusion with this interaction with Zacchaeus. As they heard these things, talking about what Matt talked about last week, he proceeded to tell them a parable. So this parable is right before Jesus goes into Jerusalem. It says, look, he said this stuff, then he went into Jerusalem. So there's something significant about this parable. So as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable because he, now here's why he's telling the parable. He was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Let me take a little license here. There's a lot of us who want God to do something right now and we want our immediate needs, they're getting far more attention than our eternal needs. Hello? Hello? Please go back on vacation. We don't like where this is going. Okay, it's kind of like Jesus is saying to them, look, you're so focused on what you want me to do for you right now that you're missing what I want to do for you big picture, what I want to do for you eternally. Okay? So he therefore said, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. And calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. And he said to them, do what, gang? What did he tell them to do? Engage in business until I come. So this nobleman gave them gifts and he told them to be busy. Everybody say busy. I want you to be busy. I want you to engage in a particular business. And I want you to increase. I want you to do this bidding. And I tell you what, 10 minas was a good amount of cheddar. I mean, take basically 3 months' wages, a quarter of your yearly earning. Okay? That's what we're talking about, roughly the amount of money that we're talking about here. And what he's saying is, I'm giving you this, and I don't want you just to hold on to it. I want you to use it. Everybody say, use it. I want you to be busy. I want you to know, gang, God has given every single one of us. I don't care if you're 2 years old, you're in junior high, you're 100 years old. God has given us gifting. He has not only given us means, but he's given us purpose. They are his gifts. He's given us his instructions. And so the question is, what are we doing with them? What are we doing with them? Let's go on here. Because now the story kind of gets a little interesting. It says, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to reign over us. It's interesting, John 14:15, Jesus tells us about those who love him. He says that though if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say that in keeping his commandments, he's going to give us even something better. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be inside of us and it will help us to fulfill the purpose. It'll help us to love God. It'll help us to love our neighbor. It'll help us to serve. And so I want us to really focus on here, okay? Do we want God's reign in our life? Because the first group of people we see here are these people who, they don't even want God's reign in their life. They don't want the reign of the Lord in their life. Do I want God's reign in my life? Again, here's why this is a pertinent question. Because what I'm seeing as I look around and what I bet you'll agree with me is we live in the midst of a culture, we live in the midst of an age, we live in the midst of a world that is continually saying, God, we reject you. Lord, we reject you. And so for us, in your decisions, in your thoughts, in your priorities, are you actually saying, God, come and reign over me? Or are we saying, I don't want you to reign in my life or in this area of my life? Now, look, that's a real question. I'm serious. This is a very, very real question for us. And it's not one we can just brush off aside. Do I want Christ's lordship or do I just want his blessings? You know, as I talk to people, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm really excited about, how many of you are excited about heaven? I think that's awesome. I'm looking forward to heaven. I don't know about you. I'm really looking forward to heaven. But the trouble is, sometimes we look forward to heaven, but we absolutely do not look forward of some of the trouble that may come with a commitment to Christ. Think about that question. It's at the heart. It's a very penetrating question. And I fear that we can easily fall into the fallacy of allowing our worship and our pursuit of God to simply be a means to curry His favor, to bless us here and now, to make our lives more palatable. Am I seeking Him because He's worthy? Or am I seeking Him because He does good things for me? Is it about me or is it about Him? That's the essence of a lot of our shallow Christianity. Shallow Christianity says, God, what can you do for me? A mature faith says, God, what can I do for you? I recognize that you've been so good to me that I want to serve you. Let's read on. Do you want God's reign in your life? When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came to him, therefore saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to them, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And so faithfulness translates in this kingdom of heaven into authority, okay? This is awesome. The second came to him saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities, okay? So here's a good point for us, okay? After we've discussed, do we want God's reign in our life? Here's the second thing for us to know today. God rewards faithfulness. Isn't that good? God is going to reward your faithfulness. Hello? That's good news. When does God reward faithfulness? Well, it says here that after he received his kingdom. In other words, that's the problem, because there's a group that is diligent about going and doing his business and using what he has given and increasing them. They are faithful to his instructions and they are rewarded. Praise God. But they're rewarded in his kingdom. Hello? Gang, we have to be busy about the long game. We have to be mindful about the long game. Because I'm going to tell you what, because there's what you're going to see, I firmly believe that what we're about to behold unfolding in this world are people who claim to have a relationship with God, but really don't. And those who diligently seek the Lord. Those who are really invested, that they're just not looking for what God can do for them right now. But they're interested in worshiping him because of who he is and acknowledging his lordship. Now, here's where it gets a little more difficult. Luke 19, 20 through 23. Then another came to him saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept. I laid away in a handkerchief. Now look at the next words there. For I was... What does it say there? Afraid of you. Now, this is not the same word in terms of just reverence and respect. This is terror, okay? Okay, I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I'll condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Now notice, he's not making a statement, he's making a question. This is ending as a question. Is God unjust? No. Do people think that God is unjust? There are many people who think God's unjust. And let me tell you something right here. Let me tell you something right here. Your image of God will dictate your service of Him. If your image of God is just a genie in the bottle, you will take it, you'll put it in a handkerchief. When do you use a handkerchief? When you need to sneeze. When you got a runny nose. I had kids, it was snotty noses. So my kids, their noses didn't run. You take it out when you need it. You have it here, you take it out when you need it. But as far as the rest of the time, nope. I always like the image of this, you know, the real gentlemanly thing. Oh, there's something going on, and I have my nice hanky that I share for somebody, you know, when they're upset. And it's a whole formal thing. Is your relationship with God simply formal and simply for those times when it's a time of need? Or is your relationship with God a living passion? Is your image of God that He's a severe guy, you just don't want to tick Him off so much, and so I got to do what I need to do to check the boxes to earn His favor? I said to him, look, I'm going to condemn you with your own works, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. In other words, look, that's not who I... You have a wrong image of me. And there are many people, sadly, within the church who have a wrong image of God. And thus their service of God is messed up. We serve God very much like those people whom Jesus was talking about prior to telling this parable. They're wanting God to fix something right now. Not that God's not interested in you right now, but He's more interested in eternity with you. I gotta tell you, the church will endure times of suffering and persecution because the world rejects Jesus. I'm not shocked at moves that happen in some legislation that seems so totally contrary to a Judeo-Christian ethics. Because that is how it goes. So my next point is a rough point. There's going to be a day when we are going to give an account. There is going to be a day when you will stand in judgment of your actions. Now, hang on. Before people go too far, what is the business that we are supposed to be doing? He's going to challenge and He's going to judge how we've lived our lives, okay? We are to... What are some things that God wants us to do? Come on, everybody. What's something that God wants you to do? Love your neighbor. Who else are we supposed to love? We're supposed to love God and love our neighbor. That's very good, because those two fulfill all the Ten Commandments. In fact, all 613, they're all fulfilled in those two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. What else are we supposed to do? Don't we have a commission? We're supposed to witness. We're supposed to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. That's the business. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the mandate. Okay? It's not that you're not able, because God has given you the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, it's not an ability question, it is simply a willingness question. And so one of the main points of this parable is there is going to be a day when we are all going to have to give account. Are y'all very comfortable with that? It gets worse! Yay! And He said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. So there's a reward for those who faithfully serve. And by the way, let me just say right now, I'm not talking about entrance into heaven. Entrance into heaven, please listen to me. Entrance into heaven is not about how many good deeds you do. Entrance into heaven, salvation, is a gift of God by grace through faith. Period. End of discussion. And, not but, non, not in otherwise, but and... We will, those of us who go to heaven, will give account for how we lived our lives. And we get rewarded. Okay? And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. And I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay. We're good thus far. He goes on to say, but as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Anybody else uncomfortable right now? You get this like, well, that this doesn't feel and doesn't sound like God. I don't really like this guy. I don't know who this is, but this is kind of a rough Lord. This is that hellfire brimstone stuff that we're not supposed to have anything to do with, right? There will be an eternal judgment. Sorry, gang. There is destruction for all who reject the Lord. But I want you to know, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 4 lets us know that God our Savior desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires all people to come to Him, but not all people will choose God. There are people who will reject the Lordship of God. And if people choose to hate God and people choose to reject the costly but free gift of salvation through Jesus, God will honor their choice. He loves us enough to say, I'm not going to force you to accept me. And there's a couple things here. Again, I'm uncomfortable with the ending of this parable. If I was writing this parable, wouldn't we stop this a couple verses up? Anybody else? Because we have this thing out here now. We got this big thing out here that we've got to deal with. I have a crisis right now, and I don't like how this parable is going. I'm uncomfortable with the ending, because right now, some of you at home, you're thinking, I can find a better YouTube channel. I can find a better thing to look. You're squirming in your seat, and you're saying, is this really God, this vengeful, angry God? And this gives us an image that we're uncomfortable with. Judgment of those who choose to hate God, to reject salvation. Why does this make us uncomfortable? Because the church doesn't like to talk about judgment. We like to put happy faces and happy emojis on everything. We don't want to be controversial. I love my children. I love my children enough to tell them the truth. I love my children enough. Sometimes that means to warn them about the harsh truths of life. But God is not a harsh truth. Judgment is real. And if that is a shock, it's not because Jesus didn't tell us about it. It's either because A, we chose not to listen, or B, the church chose not to tell it. Both of those are wrong. And in our overly sensitive society, we steer away from tough truths, don't we? It makes us uncomfortable. But here is where I want to correct right now everyone who's saying, I'm still uncomfortable with this. Here's the remedy. If you hung out, this is going to be good. Here's where we get the right image of God and we correct the wrong image of God. It's where our conversation comes full circle. If the ending of this parable made you uncomfortable, I want you to join me in reading the next verse. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Knowing the condition of mankind, Jesus said, I'm going to stand in the gap. If this made you uncomfortable, even the prospect of eternal judgment, I'm going to pay the price so that you don't have to. I'm going to secure for you eternal salvation. I'm not taking away judgment. I'm taking judgment upon myself. Knowing the condition of man, a loving Father sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to go to the cross for us. That's why it says, and when He said these things, it's not dangling, it's set up that there's a very real condition of mankind. Man is sinful. I didn't ever have to teach myself to sin. I never had to teach myself to disobey. I never had to teach that to my children. There is something in the condition of man that is selfish. Anybody at the core of your being, you recognize that you worry about yourself first. We are selfish, self-centered, sinful creatures. And because of that, God loves us so much. took on the form of human. He came, Jesus, man, God with us. God incarnate, Emmanuel, and went and fulfilled his mission to buy for you salvation. This parable made Jesus uncomfortable enough to endure what was about to happen to him for the next week. So what does this do for us? Number one, keep your focus on the kingdom to come and its future blessings, not being distracted by our temporary earthly sufferings and trials. You're going to have earthly sufferings. You're going to have earthly trials. Be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. Amen. Yeah, sometimes God intervenes. Yeah, sometimes in His wisdom, He comes in and He does something. He blesses. That certainly does happen. But be mindful on the kingdom to come. The second thing that we need to do in evaluating this parable is to look at our relationship with God. And what type of servant are we? Jesus came to offer new life for all. Those who are faithfully serving, I want you to keep encouraged. God will reward your faithfulness in the kingdom to come. He sees your effort. Don't be distracted by the world around you, but keep your eyes on the prize, the high calling of God in Christ. And now to that second group of people, those who wrapped it up in a handkerchief, those people, you know, you're kind of along for the ride. You participate, but you're not really using the gifts that God has given you. You're kind of doing your own thing. You've got your own priorities. Your view of God, you view Him as there, but as distant and cold. There's a reason we sang that last song. You are not distant or cold. That's not God. He is active. I don't want to legalistically prod you to say, hey, get busy doing things. No. I want to persuade you that your image of God is incorrect. If you correct your image of God, you will joyfully serve Him. If you've got the right image of God, you're going to fall on your knees and you're going to say, I love you. You're not going to be ashamed or embarrassed. You will boldly say, I know that you are my Lord and I love you so much. But if it's not a passionate relationship, if you view Him as a distant or cold master, you'll just try to do more. So I'm not telling you to do more, I'm telling you to know Him better. Don't try to, you're not to work yourself into His good graces, but I want to encourage you to fall in love with Jesus because He's longing to draw you not to a cruel master, but to a loving Savior. Don't let another day go by just waiting in the shallow waters and going through the motions. You can know Him as your Father in heaven and the lover of your soul. Those of you who are complacent, but now for those who are rejecting the Lord, that third group of people that we're very uncomfortable with. For those of you, quite frankly, who've never made a decision for Christ. If you've never made a decision for Christ, this parable, again, is right before Jesus entering into Jerusalem for the intent purpose of going to the cross to pay the price for your salvation. If you want to reject Him, He'll honor your request. You guys can come on up. But I want you to know that He is the Lord of Lords and He loves you and He has opened the door of salvation for you today. And today you can accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, why wait another day? Why wait another day? Why wait another moment knowing that that's the entire reason that He came? Stand to your feet, church, and would you pray with me? And those of you at home, just pray with me. Father in heaven, we come to you today and we thank you for this difficult parable. Lord, I just pray a special encouragement to those who have been diligently seeking you, God. Lord, I just pray that a wind of encouragement in the midst of this difficult time we've been going through would just come to them. Let them be strengthened and comforted in the fact that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Lord, let that be an encouragement for us in the kingdom to come. For those of us, God, who've just been kind of along for the ride. We haven't done anything. We've kind of taken what you've given us. We've wrapped it in a napkin. We pull it out every Sunday. Go back in. But our life is not centered and focused around you. Lord, teach us that truth that if we want to understand what our image of you, all we need to do is consider our thoughts, our speech, our actions, and what we do with the treasures that you have blessed us with. Father, I pray for those in that area of their life, who resonate with, who identify with that group of servants. I pray, God, that they would step into the deep waters. I pray that they would leave the shallowness of legalism and not see you as a cruel, hard master, Lord, but to understand and deepen their relationship with you. And God, for those who have never made a choice, they've just haven't even thought to them to accept you as Savior and Lord. Father, I pray that your Spirit would soften their defenses now and replace their wrong image of you with the right image of why you came. If you've never made a decision for Jesus, I invite you to pray with me right now these words. Father in heaven, I come to you today as a broken sinner. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin, to forgive me of my failure and rebellion. And Lord, take this heart of stone. I give it to you, God. And Lord, bring to me salvation. Bring to me that intimate relationship with you. I put my full trust in you. And I confess you as my Savior and as my Lord now. Come and reign in this life. I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Church family, we're going to have baptisms in 2 weeks. So we're going to be setting that up. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to reach out. I want you to send me an email, a phone call, or something. Let's get together. Let's talk and let's take those next steps. Those of you online, send me a message and we'll be happy to begin this wonderful journey with a God who loves you that much. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.